Views expressed by the guests and telephone participants do not necessarily express the views of the management, staff, or sponsors of AM 950 KHI.
Welcome, KHI listeners. You're listening to A Time for Seniors, and I'm Teresa Helene. We love sharing with our listeners new ideas. We're always talking senior something, trying to help them with their needs. And today we really have someone I've never interviewed. Jacob Georgie owns House to Home Complete Moving Services.
Yeah, House to Home Moving, yeah.
I'm really excited because I've been in the senior business 20 years. I own a placement company myself, and then I've worked with in-home care, assisted living communities. I probably have known thousands of seniors or helped thousands of seniors move.
We have too.
We
probably moved a lot of seniors.
You probably moved them for me. I never in this process thought about this part of it. It was just like, okay, let's get them from their home to assisted living. And then it's like, okay, on you, you kids, deal with that. So I'm really excited for you to educate me with all the families I help, and for our listeners who a lot of them are thinking in the process of, do I move mom out of the house? And that's overwhelming.
Oh,
totally,
yeah.
Overwhelming.
And moving is hard.
You know what? I'm living in a huge house I don't want anymore, and I live way up in the mountains in the snow, and I don't want to live there, but I don't want to move. I don't want to move. I don't want to pack it.
I don't think anyone wants to move, honestly.
Really?
It's such a headache. Whether you do it yourself or, you know, you have your friends do it or you hire a moving company to do it, it's going to be a headache no matter how you do it. It's just, what level of headache do you want?
Oh, I'm going to get some free advice here. At one point, I'm going to talk to you about how do people plan for the moves. I mean, if you know you're going to be moving, we just have so many questions. This is going to be a really interesting show. I see on your brochure you say your stress-free complete moving solution.
Absolutely.
That's what I want. So tell me a little bit about you, your history, your life, where you grew up, what you did before you decided to open your own moving company.
All right. Well, first of all, I thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
I grew up in poverty.
So did I.
Yeah, super poor. And, I was a blue-collared worker my whole life. And I got into the moving industry somehow. I was in Sacramento. I grew up a little bit in Redding and in Sacramento.
Okay.
And, you know, around 2021, I got an opportunity to help this guy start a moving company called Musselman Moving.
I've heard of that.
They're not around anymore.
No,
but yeah,
I've heard of it. Yeah.
They were quite an entity in Sacramento. Well, at the time he didn't have anything going on, and I thought, you know, I needed a job, so it was a no-brainer for me. But working with him for, you know, 6-7 years, I realized I just learned all the different parts about moving, you know. And this whole time, my wife and I, today we've been married for 21 years. I have two daughters. I have a 20-year-old. I have a 13-year-old. And, and I work full-time. You know, I own the moving company. And it's been a crazy journey. It really has been a crazy journey. I started into this company because I had worked for the moving company. Do you remember when all the housing market crashed and everything?
Oh.
I mean, I think everyone remembers.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Everyone lost their houses. Everyone lost their...
Everything. Yeah.
Jobs went under.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff happened.
Did you own your own? Did you have this moving company then?
No.
Oh.
No. So this is before I owned House to Home Moving. And, you know, we went through it. I got fired. I was their number one sales guy, but they were trying to cut money and save the business, which they didn't end up doing. They let me go. And so I did sales. And that's where I realized I could be a business owner by selling a product or a service to other business owners. Have me talk to these other business owners made me realize that I am smart enough to be a business owner, and I should probably do something like that. between my wife and some friends that I had around me that were kind of pushing me in.
Good for her.
Yeah. And we, you know, got my business license, didn't know what I was doing. I had $250 in the bank. My very first move I did after I got my business license, bounced a check. So I went negative in my account.
And, you know, oh, that was good. You know, great way to start a business account.
and then I was like, I just went home. I felt like crying. I was like, aww. Oh, this is obviously a sign saying I shouldn't be a business owner. But my wife just kind of kicked me in the butt and said, go out there and, you know, who cares about this one deal? And
you know what I think it could be me is that being raised from very poor, we were extremely poor. It's hard for someone, for us to say to ourselves, you can do this.
Oh, absolutely.
There's this little nagging thing in our brain saying, you're not worthy, you're not worthy. So to have a wife or someone saying, you got this. Go get it, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to have someone that's supportive
on
your side. Because you'll beat yourself up to death.
Yeah.
And if you don't have someone to have your back all the time, it's hard to, it's hard to get through it.
Yeah. And the bullying and the negative stuff you live with when you're raised and you're poor, it just kind of, you carry that to a certain point.
Oh, yeah. There are things that you have to get over.
You do. You either drag it with you or you say, I'm done with that. Time to pick it up and move on. I actually compare it to a hot air balloon. The weights hold it down from soaring. Those weights are baggage that we've carried with us. So we're not going to soar as long as we keep those weights. You have to cut them. You have to find the way to cut them loose and soar to your whatever you want to do. And it sounds like you did that, and that's amazing.
I say this all the time. I have a channel on Facebook called Working Class Heroes.
Yes, I know. I just joined it.
I talk a lot about that kind of stuff. You know, I try to put up a lot of positive, inspiring things.
Mm-hmm.
I know I can't inspire someone to do it. They have to do it for themselves because that's what it comes down to. You just have to do it for yourselves. But I try to give the information so that it can be easier for them.
But I do believe that there are those people who have that desire in them.
Oh, yeah.
And just that little motivation to see someone else can do it. That's where those feel-good stories come from, is someone encouraged them. They saw someone else do it and they say, I can do that.
Well, and not only that, but as soon as you do something and you succeed, you get this little piece of confidence that you never even knew existed before, a different kind of confidence, a confidence of, wait a minute, I did something I had no idea. I was scared. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do? Is it going to work? What are people going to say?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be mocked and I'm going to be hated and people are telling me I'm crazy. And then you do it and then you succeed at something and you
After the first check is done bouncing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When the second check came in, we're a little better.
When the second check comes in and it clears, I have a little bit more confidence. No, but then it just turns into you start getting a different kind of confidence and it starts building on you. And every little thing that you try to do, or at least this is what happened to me, everything that I attempted to do, from hiring my first employee and figuring out payroll and workers' comp and doing my first...
In California.
Oh, it's crazy. And then it happens, and then I get past it, and then I get another piece of that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And the more confidence I got, the more I realized I can do it.
You just always have to stay humble, too.
Absolutely.
And help the next person. That's what life's about.
Yeah.
So were you working for a moving company when the economy crashed? Were a salesperson?
Yeah, I was an estimator, a salesperson. I had worked my way up in the company. So we started with nothing. I helped him build the company to like 4 trucks and, I don't know, 15 employees, something like that. And so I knew all about the moving industry. But see, the funny thing is that when the economy crashed, I lost my house and everything. My wife and I went through, you know, bad times, but we're strong. So, you know, we made it through it. And,
it's hard.
It is. It's
hard. It is really hard.
You know, talking about it is crazy because I don't really think about it too much. I kind of put that off to the back.
Mm-hmm.
But if it wasn't for all those hardships, I wouldn't even be where I am today. So it's a blessing.
But the next part of that is in the world today, I'm 65, so I've seen the ups and downs. We're doing good. We always have to prepare for that downturn.
Absolutely.
It just seems to come with it.
Well, and don't pay attention to all the negative stuff around you. You know, yeah. I see a lot of people, they talk about how negative everything is in the country and the world and everything going on. And there's a lot of negative things, don't get me wrong. But in all, the world's doing better than it ever has. So I feel, I try to feel more optimistic.
Positive. Well, the other part of that, there are negative things going on. We read it in the paper. But there are beautiful things going on, too.
Yep.
All the time. Good people. You meet good people that are doing good things. And so that gets buried under some horrible things. Actually, my niece was one who was shot in the head at the Las Vegas shooting.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me.
So, I mean, there are bad things out there that just devastate us. But there are beautiful things going on in the world with great people. And you look at it one way or another. That's how you wake up and you deal with life.
Yeah, the only way I can succeed in business is just to not
put
think about
that. Put a smile on your face.
Yeah. And I just focus on my company. I focus on my family.
And the people you're helping. They need help.
Absolutely.
So that's what I would much rather do business with someone who's going to walk in and smile at me than someone walks in, how do I help you? Oh, get out the door. That's how you're going to help me. So this is where what I see is that you helped this man start a business, started at the bottom, so you knew how to actually physically pack up stuff, trial and error.
Absolutely.
Tape this, tie this, whatever.
I knew how to be every aspect of in a moving company, from doing the grunt work, moving, driving the trucks, being a crew leader, being a shift leader, being a manager.
Figuring how much to charge. If you're
wrong with that,
you lose.
Well, that's the biggest thing is, okay, so I don't know if I can go into that right now or not.
Go wherever you want.
That's the biggest thing in the moving company, in the moving industry. You have to remember, most people, they call up moving companies and the first thing they ask is, how much do you cost? And it's terrible because moving companies nowadays, they don't want to do a free estimate for you. They don't want to spend the money on an estimator to come out to your house and do a free estimate, because if they do, they not only lose the money on the estimator, but the estimator has to put a price in writing, and the price in writing in California has to be the not to exceed. So if you don't have something in writing, I could tell you 100,000 terrible things that are going to happen on your move. And that's what moving companies want right now, because it's a way to give you I call them happy numbers over the phone. Numbers that you
they're giving them numbers over the phone.
Absolutely.
But it's not binding. If you give someone a number over the phone,
Of course, but the public doesn't know that.
Okay. Because I can tell you I have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
I don't know where I park the truck. I don't know what equipment I need. I don't know how many guys I need. I don't know how big of a truck or how many trucks I need.
You don't know if I have major antiques
I don't know if you have a crazy staircase that's going to take longer.
Or a crazy husband.
But they don't either.
Yeah.
They're just expecting to go out to your move on the day that you have to move. And that's where you hear those horror stories where they put everything in their truck and...
Okay.
And then they tell you need to pay more because...
So I think I know where you're going now. My brain just went off. So you are saying... You're a local person. This is local. He's the local guy. Are you talking about if I call a big-name moving company?
Any moving company.
Because we talk about this a lot when it comes to placements, moving a senior. There is a well-known internet company, big-known internet company... that you call and that you want to move your mom somewhere, and they'll give you a list of 30. They have not seen them.
Oh.
They do not.
Where's the personal touch?
Right.
I was just talking about this yesterday.
Is that what you're talking about, the difference between you just call and get a number? There's no personal touch there.
Well, there's not only a personal touch because you've never even met anyone from the company yet.
Mm-mm.
They haven't even met a representative. You just talked to some operator on the phone that picked up. So not only do you not have any idea who this moving company is really, but they have no idea what they're stepping into. So it's the equation only equals disaster. And the only time it doesn't is just in lucky situations.
Right. So I think we'll dig into that because I want to talk about steps for someone who's moving. Let's go back to you actually literally saying, okay, I'm going to open my own company. Had the economy crashed when you were it was in the middle of crashing when you decided
it was crashed.
Well, it was crashed.
I lost my house. I spent the next Well, I was the very first one that felt the hit. I was the first one to lose their house because it just happened that way. We were so guilty and everything else, and we lost our house, and it made us feel like just terrible. And then all of a sudden, the next two years, everyone lost their house.
Everybody did.
And it was absolutely crazy. But while everything was down, that's when I decided to start my own company.
Because, quite honestly, not everybody was down. But let me ask.
Well, it doesn't matter, because if you lose your house, you still want your furniture, so you got to move it to storage.
But did they have the money to move it?
A lot of people did, yeah.
Okay.
Because they were sitting on their houses without paying.
Yeah, they weren't paying their house payments.
I won't either.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
once
crazy.
You knew you were going to lose it, you were in. You could stay in it six months to a year. There were so many homes.
And really, that's the smart thing to do, because it's just going back to the bank. You know, the only people who won was the banks.
I did not lose my house. I lost the value of my house, but I didn't lose my house. Anyway, we're going to take our first break, and then we come back. We're going to talk more with Jacob from House to Home. We'll take a break. Be right back.
I expected it to be a lot easier.
I thought it was going to be a piece of cake. I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I was an MP, military police.
My friends thought I could do anything.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I felt like a stranger.
I was overwhelmed.
I couldn't sleep.
I just wanted to be by myself.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
I was too proud.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too.
Right?
I started to open up.
And it made a huge difference.
So I reached out and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Because before I was able to take on my next mission, I had to take on just taking care of myself.
To find purpose.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jack Hanna. Since I was a boy growing up on a farm in Tennessee, I've been fascinated with animals. I'm not only in awe of their beauty and kindness, but also their tireless work ethic. Just look at the birds, who gather supplies to build nests, or Swiss foxes, who work hard to provide for their young, or penguins, who travel up to 500 miles to secure food for their families, or bush babies, whose impressive jump allows them to navigate the trees in the wild in search of fruit. This remarkable work ethic is shared by our best friends, the canines. We know dogs are our wonderful pets at home, but because of their acute senses, they also perform life-saving work every day. Dogs keep us safe at airports. They comfort returning veterans, some of whom suffer from PTS. They work with diabetics, alerting them when there's a change in their blood chemistry. Working dogs have a variety of highly trained roles that contribute to society and help those in need. So please join me, an American Humane, in supporting our heroic working dogs and all the amazing animals on this planet we inhabit together. Go to AmericanHumane.org to learn more.
Welcome back. Hey, hi, listeners. I'm chatting with Jacob Georgie from House to Home. He's the moving. He silently says moving. Moving services, complete moving services. So you made an interesting comment during the break that when the economy dropped, certain businesses took off.
Absolutely.
Because I'm sitting there thinking, a lot of the people couldn't find jobs. There was so much gone. But then you said, well, these people who lost their homes had to move their stuff somewhere.
Well, there's positives, I think, everywhere. And you're right. You're right. Going off that, it was people lost their homes and they moved maybe into an apartment or something like that, or maybe back with their parents. We saw a bunch of things.
Yeah.
But the storage is made out. I mean, because they just all filled up because everyone wanted to keep their furniture. But and then you had to have a way to get the furniture from the house to the storage. So then that's what we did.
I guess I'm so old that in my day when you moved, you just moved. Now I'm too old to move. I will say that. I just physically couldn't do that anymore. But so people start calling around.
Right.
To move. Just,
I mean, moving. And at this time, you have to, I'm selling payroll. I'm not even, this is in between me working for Musselman Moving and me starting my own business. I spent 2 years, those 2 years after I lost my home, selling payroll for a payroll company.
What does that mean, selling payroll?
Payroll services to business owners, to companies.
Oh.
They have payroll for their employees.
Yeah.
Well, they have to use a company for that.
So you were going around selling payroll
services.
So
I was going around taking them away from the payroll they were using and having them sign up with a local company.
Did you succeed at that? Were you good? Are you a salesman?
I am a salesman, yeah.
Okay, but you didn't, so...
I would consider myself a relationship builder.
I would agree with that.
Not a salesman.
That's me. I actually went to work for an assisted living community, which is a salesperson job. I love the experience, but I'm not a salesperson. I love relationships. I'm not going to sell you something that is not what you want and not what you need. So that's just, yeah. I found that out.
Or what I believe in.
Well, I did believe in this community. I really did. But I believe everybody has the right to choose what they want.
Absolutely.
If I'm the salesperson for a community, my job is to convince you, whether you agree or not, that that is the best community.
Absolutely.
And
I mean, that
just,
is your job.
That's not,
yeah.
And I don't want to be paid to do that. I want to be paid to say, I love this community if it's right for you.
Right.
But if not, we have other great communities around. So that wasn't the best job I ever did. I was great at it, but it didn't feel good to me in my gut because I've done placements for so long that I say to families, here's a list of 5, 6. You go find what feels best to you. That's what I'm used to, not telling them. I'm telling you this is the best one for you. So
I see that.
Okay, so you were doing your payroll thing.
And that's the transition after payroll, was the transition into getting my business license.
And was something in there saying, this isn't what I want to do?
With the payroll thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I was still trying to figure out what I wanted to do. You know, when I started the moving company, I had no idea that it would do as good as it did. I had no clue. I thought it was just going to be it was always just going to be me and
whatever guy
I found on the street, you know, to help me do these moves. And so it was. It's been very humbling.
Aww.
To work as hard as I do and to see the
success.
The success of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how did this conversation happen? I'm sure it was between you and your wife that I can see with what you've said that you had that experience from the start to the salesperson. You knew that industry well.
I did. I know.
So it's just a no-brainer to me. I could see your wife going, hey, this is what you know how to do.
That is what she said. But, you know, I don't. I didn't want to go back into the moving industry. That's what it was. Who likes moving? No one does.
Yeah, but being the owner.
Is
different.
Hello. Right. It is different. But you still have to start as moving.
Yeah.
You know, where I started, I quite literally had to just put up a post and get some guy in town to help me do the moves, and I was on every single move.
Were you renting a truck? Did you rent a truck first move?
Yeah, of course. I had to rent a truck every move until I could afford to get trucks. Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
I had to barely buy in just enough equipment to do one move, you know, and then if I did one move a day, it was awesome. Two moves a day, sure, I was working a really long day, but I'll do it because I needed the money. I need to feed my family, everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a no-brainer. But, you know, I went from going from this little two-bedroom apartment in Citrus Heights where I kept my material to, like, a 5x5 storage. And then the 5x5 storage turned into a 5x10, and then it turned into a 10x15. And then I...
With your equipment?
Yeah, with the equipment, because I was getting more and more equipment. And
how were people finding you?
Because I was also the same guy who was going out everywhere and handing out cards and flyers and to every storage, every apartment, every realtor, every senior community.
Really?
Everything.
Good
everywhere.
For you.
Yeah. All the
and
time.
And what year was this? When did you open your business?
2010. March 2010, I got my business license. And I started, and I remember it was scary. And the first couple of years, I got hit in the face with a couple business 2x4s.
Well,
you in business, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Bills hit you sometimes, and you're like, oh, my God, I didn't even know this bill existed.
Right.
You know, how could they take any more money? This is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, they get
And you,
you
got to pay it.
Oh,
but
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
what I find, what I found is that it works out.
Absolutely.
It just works out. When you sit there and go, I've got to pay this bill by this date. somehow it just works out. And I think we stress too much about things sometimes.
Absolutely. I don't stress about bills anymore for my company because I learned very early on to just pay them right when I got them. I'm very, you know what, losing everything and the house and going through that before I started my company, losing my job and all that, that gave me this humble. It humbled me in a way that made me respect money a lot more. And because I respect money now, when I started my company, it was, I didn't spend any, I just, it all just went into the bank and I just paid my bills and I just figured I just need to not, I just need to always make sure I'm ahead or else, you know, I can't overspend. Overspending is bad. And so I don't do that. And I pay my all my bills first. And I pay them on time.
And you know what? And your marriage survived all that, which is huge. Because a lot of people lost their homes. They lost their families. They couldn't hold it together through the challenging times they went through.
Yeah, which
and that
is too
was
bad.
Really sad.
It is sad.
Because things were going great. And
well, no, where was the support?
Yeah.
I feel like the relationships that failed, and this doesn't go for all of them, obviously.
No.
I don't like to blanket statement anything, but you know, a lot of relationships failed because they just weren't strong to begin with.
They weren't, and I think they also were, during that time, a lot of relationships, I can look back on them and watch it, all the friends I saw. They were refinancing their house and buying boats and buying Harleys and buying a lot of
crazy
stuff. So they were living through stuff
without
with their
realizing
relationship.
That extra money went right into another loan with a higher interest rate.
They were working on stuff. Yeah. Not, and that's one of my favorite sayings is that valued the relationship and the memories you make, not the stuff you buy.
Right.
So you started out, you and found one guy to help you move.
Yeah, his name was Dan.
Is he still work for you?
No, he doesn't. He moved on.
He started his own company.
I tell all my employees all the time, this is just a job. And if you can find something, never leave me for something equal.
Right.
Never leave me for something less. Always leave me for something more. And I will give you a letter of recommendation and everything else so that you can get it. But as a moving company, I can only pay so much because my workers' comp is so high and my insurance and everything.
Oh.
So I max out what I can pay them so that they can live good and everything else. But I tell them all the time, if you can find a job that is better than this one, then please go. I'll help you.
Absolutely.
Help you go. You know, so I'm always looking out. I'm always looking out for my employees to be better. I've had employees leave and become Sac County sheriffs. I've had employees leave and work for the state or federal government. Anything and everything you can think of, they've gone. I've had employees leave and come back. You know, so I get a little bit of everything.
Yeah. So you were marketing and busy and the calls were coming in.
Because I was out marketing so much.
Wow.
And then when I wasn't marketing, I was moving.
And you, what do you have now? I mean, I went on your website. We should give out your website. Do you want to give out your
yeah,
website?
Yeah, absolutely. The name of the company is House to Home Moving and it's housetohomemoving.com. The two is a T-O. And our phone number is 916-484-1144. And you can always reach me at jacob@housetohomemoving.com.
So we were talking about people calling and saying, how much is it going to be to move?
Yeah. Didn't you want like the steps? Like,
yeah,
what are the proper
I do.
Steps when
so
you think
if
about
I
moving?
Call, yeah. See, this is me. I mean, I'm older. I deserve to have someone just come. I'm sitting there, and you want a cup of tea, I'll give it to you. But what's involved? I've always moved myself.
So the first thing to remember and the first thing I would say to keep in mind is that moving is not cheap.
Okay.
It's not a cheap industry. So if you want a moving company to come out and move you, you probably shouldn't look for the cheapest price because you're going to get a horrible experience. You should be calling around. Okay, so let me start over. So you're like, I'm moving.
Right.
So your very first step should be calling the moving company. You've decided you don't want your friends to do it. You have nice furniture. you've actually paid money for your couch now. All the pictures on your, you know, you're older now, so your everything in your house you actually bought at a store. You didn't. It's not handed down to you anymore.
Like when I first got married. Yeah.
So, which back then you don't care. You're like, I'll just move it in.
I'll leave it. The other people can move it out.
So you say, you know what? I want to hire a moving company. So your very first step. Unless you're getting a referral from a friend or a family member who said use X, Y, and Z, you know, use Housetown Moving because they did a great job. Unless you have something like that, go online, look for companies that have a good rating on Google. You know, I don't trust all the other ones, but Google is pretty solid because anyone can leave a review. And they don't filter anything. They put them all right there. So Google's a good one to look at. So you look at their Google reviews, you read their reviews. Let's say you get a good feeling for three or four. Call them up. Call them up and ask them to come out to do a free estimate. That's the most important thing you can do, period.
So they do your company. If I called you, you are coming to my house. You are going to look around.
And give you a free written estimate and put in the price in writing for you.
You don't charge to come out and do that?
No, it's free. I pay people. You know, I go out there, and I have two other guys that go out there and do free estimates.
Okay.
And, so I pay them to do it. So I'm not guaranteed that job, but I pay so that they can come out there for free for you so that you can have something in writing.
Okay. Interesting thing that you do it for free. Do others do it for free?
Well, that's the thing. Whoever doesn't, don't use.
Because that is a new thing in the senior arena, if you haven't noticed. All these things, assessments we used to go do for free, now people are charging $195, $200 to just show up.
Right.
And I get that because you don't always get the client. But on the other hand, dang, these people, why shouldn't people be able to call around and get a few different bids?
Well, and they need to come out.
Yeah.
They just need to come out.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so you come out, you do an assessment. How do you price it?
Well, it depends on what we're doing because we set it up like an a la carte menu. So we'll go out to your place and let's say you want a price. You just want a price on it. You don't know yet. You just want to know how much it's going to cost.
Right.
So you say, how much is it going to cost to pack it? How much is it going to cost to move it from here to there? How much is it going to cost all that? Because we set everything up and everything, it takes time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there are moving people. People go in and go through your stuff. You don't do that. If I said I want to move and I want you start to finish, you're going to do it all. You're packing my dishes. You're doing everything. You do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
wow,
we can move
I didn't know that.
I can move you down the hall. My company can move you from one apartment to another apartment in the same exact community.
I met a lady last week who did that, and she had to hire a mover to move her from upstairs to downstairs.
Right. We do that all the time for communities.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And we just had a truck get back from Maine. So,
okay, let's talk your area you do go.
Talking the area I don't go would be quicker.
Really?
I don't go to Hawaii or Alaska. Not to say I can't load a container to go to Hawaii or Alaska, but I'm...
Alaska's fun. I live there.
Alaska
would be
fun
to
visit.
Someday. Take your whole family, put them all in the truck and go.
That'd be fun.
It is. It's beautiful. I drove the Alcat.
I love road trips.
So you start here. You're not going to Florida and moving someone back. You're starting here. You're moving someone to Florida.
I can do that. Absolutely. I do that too.
Really?
So I could go to Florida and pick someone up and bring them back. Or I could take someone here and take them to Texas or North Dakota or Tennessee or Maine or New York or wherever they want to go.
Wow.
We're a direct shipment company, and this is the...
So what does that mean, direct shipment?
What that means is we're the only company around that I know of that the same exact crew that loads it, unloads it.
Okay.
The same exact truck. It never comes off the truck. It's only your shipment. It gets locked and unlocked when we get there and we drive straight there. We're the only company to do that.
See, I think that's big. Because for me, when I think moving companies and you say call a few people, I'm thinking big names. But me personally, I wouldn't want to use a big name.
Well, let me tell you who the big names are now.
Okay.
Because everyone thinks of these big name companies, and I'll shout a couple out.
You can.
Allied, Wheaton, United.
Yeah.
Atlas.
Yeah.
These are huge companies that everyone's known because they've been around for 100 years. But what people don't know is that they're not moving companies anymore. They're call centers. So you call United. United they're subcontracting moving companies everywhere. They subcontract the work out. So they might have a trailer or a box truck or a moving truck with that says United or Allied or Whedon or whatever it is on there. But on the door of the truck, it tells you who the real moving company is.
You know how I see that is I go to, I drive down 174 quite a lot, and there's this one section in 174 that you can pull out, and I see trucks backed up to like a big United Moving thing. And I thought, someone else did this, and now it's going in the big truck to be shipped somewhere.
Well, what they do is, let's say you call the 1-800 number, and someone answers, they're like, oh, hi, it's X company, and it's a big company, it's been around forever. And you go, I need moving. And they go, oh, great. They take down your information. They get you in touch with a salesperson. The salesperson makes it sound great. No one comes out to do an estimate. Some local company in your area that they subcontract out that's a cheap company comes out there and does the move. Not the company you called. The company that they're getting a commission for to use.
Okay, so I love that. I do love that. That it's one local, which we do want to support local. And two, that start to finish, it's your reputation.
Right. That way, if anything happens, we know it's us. It was our response. I take 100% responsibility. So in order to do that, I have to. I can't have someone say, oh, it was the guys who loaded. Oh, it was the guys who unloaded.
They're going to call you.
It was the other company, you know. Instead, they know that it was the same guys the whole time. So it was us. If we damaged a chair, we know we damaged the chair because we did the whole move. Yeah.
So when you show up and you pack, let's go back. You come out to my house. You give me an estimate.
Right.
Or one of your guys. That's it. You don't come back day of the move. This is what people would think, day of the move. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to add this cost for the piano.
I'm sure that happens with other companies. No, see, once the price is in writing, unless you change something.
Right.
Well, of course, unless you change something. You say, oh, by the way, I'm not going to, from Folsom to Cameron Park. I'm actually going from Folsom to Reno, same price, right? No.
Yeah, really.
Obviously, there's a price difference, you know? And so if you change something, we all obviously have to make a price difference. But once we put it in writing, that's it. That's the cap. So let's just say, oh, it's going to take 7 hours and $800 or something like that with everything. Well, that $800 not to exceed that estimated price, that's it. If I'm wrong as an estimator and the job takes 12 hours, which, by the way, we just stay and do a great job no matter what the estimate says, period. We make sure the customer's taken care of no matter what the estimate says. If it falls within the estimate, then you pay whatever we do. So, for instance, if I say this job's going to be $800 and it comes out to $700, you pay $700. You don't pay $800. Wow. But if it goes to $900 or $10 or $1,000, you don't pay more than $8 because that's the promise.
Wow. I really want to talk about how you wrap it up, how people know their stuff's going to get there safely and stuff like that. But let's take our final break and we'll be right back.
Did you know a vehicle is stolen once every 40 seconds in the United States? The cost adds up to over $6 billion a year, which leads to higher auto insurance rates for all of us. But there are steps you can take to help put the brakes on vehicle theft.
When you leave your vehicle,
always roll up the windows completely. Don't leave valuables in the car. Take the keys or the fob with you. Lock the doors. And if you are out at night, always park in a well-lit area. For an extra layer of protection, install an audible alarm system or tracking system, and use steering wheel or brake pedal locks. If you have information on vehicle theft, contact the National Insurance Crime Bureau. Reach us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. Or visit our website at www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
Welcome back, K-Hi listeners. We were talking during the break, and I never talk finances. It's just not what I do on the radio. But we were kind of getting general ideas about moving, and I found it very reasonable.
Well, you know, I it came up because you had said, you know, what's an average move?
Yeah.
And she's not going to let me talk about price because I don't want to give you an average move. But
I'm going to say I find what you're saying very reasonable for someone to say, you know, you were kind of saying it's expensive. I get that. But as you get older, when you're young and you're 25 and you're 35 and you're 45, you move it yourself.
Well, absolutely.
You just do it. Your kids help you.
Or you're a college student or something like that.
Yeah, and you don't have so much. And so what? You got it at Goodwill. You just leave it.
Oh, I know a ton of people who ask friends at their church, help them move. You know, I mean, we've taken advantage of everything there is to take advantage of when we were younger.
Yeah, you do.
My wife and I moved us most of the time.
We did, absolutely. But then you just... Now you get older, my husband has a bad back. There's no way. I sit there and think, you know, move the big stuff. I could probably move little stuff. But when you see moves and you look at all those little boxes, I mean, my kitchen would probably be 20 boxes. Not kidding. I just have a ton of kitchen stuff. Well, how would my back feel after boxing and moving 20 boxes, and then don't even go start on the books I have, because that's
funny.
Yeah,
that's
so endless. So how many employees do you have now? We've heard your story.
I have about 20 employees right now.
And how many trucks do you have?
I have 5 trucks. I run about 5 trucks every day.
Every single day you're moving?
Yeah, we're open 7 days a week.
Oh, that's bad.
So it's every day.
Don't work 7 days a week.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because I did comment when you took a couple days off to Lake Tahoe. Those are precious times. You need to do that.
Yeah, and Tahoe's gorgeous. So any chance I get to go to Tahoe, that's like one of my favorite spots.
Oh, I'm going to go kayaking there before the summer's out.
Nice.
Does it matter the size? I mean, what about these pianos, these grand pianos people have?
Oh, yeah. So you want to talk about that kind of stuff? No, so we can move any type of piano. Grand piano, concert piano,
stuff,
baby
and
grand.
They had to get cranes.
Oh, well, maybe for giant safes or something like that, but I do know
a few people have giant safes.
Yeah, you can and you can get those moved. Don't call me for those. No, I'm joking. there's a lot of things. Pool tables. You know, people have pool tables, and you have to call the right kind of company to get those moved properly. Not everyone knows. What this customer told me yesterday, she just booked a move from here to Tucson, Arizona.
Oh.
And we're doing that move here in about a week. And one of the items that she has, what was it? Oh, it was, what are those air mattresses called? Those, I can't remember what they're called. The ones that everyone's buying right now.
The real expensive
ones.
Yeah.
And I can't.
My girlfriend.
Sleep number.
Oh, yeah.
Sleep number. Okay. Whew. So she was concerned because they had it installed in her house. And she's like, oh, my God, can you guys move the sleep number bed? And I can't say we literally move that every day. But we do. And we know how to move things like that. So, you know, and I love the questions. So I always encourage all my customers, ask me whatever.
No silly question.
Whatever you want to ask me, just ask me, because chances are we move it daily or weekly.
When you show up, when you give a bid, you show up with the boxes, you show up with the stuff to put between the plates.
You could do the packing and unpacking and have us just move the furniture and boxes. Or you could sit back with your friend with a martini and not do anything. And we will do everything from setting up everything and making your bed and hanging your pictures and making it so that it looks like you lived in that house for the last 20 years.
You hang in the picture? You
yeah.
unpack?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
We unpack, take things away. We take things to the dump. We take things to charity. We ship things to family members. We take things to donation.
Goodwill, okay, do you everything. Think that part of that is just, that is not an average moving company? That right there.
Well, we do that because like 70% of our moves are senior moves.
That's what I was wondering.
We do moves in every single senior community from Oakmonts and Atrias, and Brookdale's.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of them. Every single
You're
one of
them. You're moving them from their home Somerset, into a community.
Or from
community
the community to community. Or a lot of times, even though it's sad, we build a relationship with the family. This is how it typically happens with us. We build a relationship with the family. We meet the children with the senior at their house or just the senior. We do an assessment. We tell them exactly what it's going to cost. We do everything for them, get them all moved in, whatever they're doing with the contents of their house. We get it all separated to where it needs to go. Once they're moved in, we'll get a call later moving them from their apartment that they're finding,
mm-hmm.
you know, the non-assisted, and we then move them into an assisted living, and then from assisted living to memory care, and then from memory care, we usually move their stuff out to their children's house, and then their children use us for their moves, and then we do their moves. And
wow.
Yeah, so it's this big circle. It is.
It's interesting helping seniors. It's just, you're going to do a lot more. Just, they
Absolutely.
Deserve it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they deserve someone who's a little old school in the way thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That they can feel confident in using, that isn't just
And it's a different
talking.
Lingo we use in talking to seniors in a different respect.
Absolutely.
That if you were moving a 20-year-old, you're going to go in and you're going to talk to them different. You have to have a certain kind of knowledge and patience
Absolutely.
With the senior to trust you, because they are constantly being ripped off by everyone,
yeah,
and it's hard for them to trust someone.
Well, I mean, they're getting ripped off just by the phone calls that are coming in. You know, there's so many scams, and the last thing they want to worry about is a company, especially a company that was referred to them, because that's how we get most of our business, is just word-of-mouth referrals. So, you know, we take a lot of pride in that. So we don't want to be someone to get referred to us and then have a team go out there and not do exactly what we said we were going to do. That would be terrible, and I wouldn't be in business anymore.
I love that you have so much pride in your company. I love that it falls on you, and I say that in a complimentary way, in that it's nice that there is a local owner who says, I own this company, I own this reputation. If you have a problem, I'm right here. Just talk to me.
Absolutely. And that's what I go out and say all the time. That's how I met you.
Yeah.
I go out. I'm the only owner of a moving company.
I've never seen, in 20 years of making senior meetings, I've never seen a mover.
I haven't either. But I do it because I want people to see I'm the owner.
That's right.
You can call me on my cell phone and I will help you.
That is what those meetings are about, is for us to see, actually meet someone face to face and know they're genuine. The one thing that I'm picky about having people on this radio about is because I've been in the business so long, people trust me. So if I have someone on, they trust that I believe in you. And years ago, I used to give, when I give presentations at churches or something, I would always tell them that this was an industry, the senior industry was an industry that, like the nails being put on, the gel nails in the 80s, there was a nail salon in every single shopping center. And I said, the day's going to come that people are going to come out of the woodwork to come in this industry for the wrong reasons, because that's where the money is. And it is, and we all have to make money. I agree. But you have to have a heart and a passion to do the right thing to help the seniors.
Well, right. And I feel like I'm a good person, so I want to sleep at night.
Yeah. That's what I say. I sleep well at night.
I wouldn't
so.
Be able to. I just wouldn't be able to. With everything that I've gone through and everything, there's no way. I'm one of those guys who believes in energy quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I believe that people attract other people that are like them. And I feel like that's why I have such a good team.
I think it's
amazing. Because we rely on each other. And, you know,
we have good energy. Yeah. I'll say that. Okay, I want to change subject. And before we go, we'll give out all his contact information again. I want you to tell me a little bit about what you do in your spare time, Mr. Honorary Mayor or whatever is. Okay, so we have a few minutes.
You do
other stuff. You do a lot.
Yeah. I'm part of Rotary Club of Fair Oaks, which is an amazing Rotary Club, by the way.
Okay.
And Rotary is one of those places that just, they do so much help that you really have to pick and choose what you could do, or else you could literally drown yourself in it. But they do everything from, I mean, pick up trash on the freeway and on streets, to plant trees in the park, and help mentor children. And since I've been in Rotary, I'm one of the only companies in California to do an autism program to bring autistic adults into a work environment. Teach them about a trade. We do all kinds of stuff like that. I'm the honorary mayor thing that you mentioned.
Yeah.
I'm an honorary mayor candidate of Fair Oaks. So we do, and the great thing about them is they split the funds that I raise 50-50 between the chamber, which does all kinds of great things at the park and all kinds of fun things. And I split the money to the nonprofit of my choice, which is Adopt an Elder, which is a huge foundation that just does a lot of good for seniors with low income and helps them pay their bills and things like that. So I'm in it to win it. I'm in it to just give as much time and to everyone I can and do a good job for my business and do a good job for my community.
You're giving back.
Yeah, as much as I can.
As much as you can. And still have a life. Aside from
a little
that,
bit.
explain to me what you said about the Rotary. You brought the program about teaching, about helping autistic.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's terrible. I can't. What's the name of it? Meristem. It's Meristem. Meristem is this organization that's been around, that's been helping autistic adults that can't contribute to society. They're trying to get them into, they're trying a new thing to get them into companies, blue collar work, that they can make money and have a job and support any family or support themselves, do something, you know, because they don't have a lot of opportunity to do anything. So Meristem came through me because of Rotary. They asked me if I wanted to be a part of it. I love things like that. So I absolutely said yes. And we had about a month where autistic adults were coming in and working with my teams out on moves. You know, I'd call the customer, let them know what I was doing, make sure it was okay, had the autistic, and they were just added people onto the team. So, you know, our team was still doing great, and they had a couple of extra free hands, and the autistic guys were learning to come into work on time, be prepared for work. I trained them. They went out there and did it. So it was very eye-opening for, I think, everybody. It was very interesting.
Their self-worth and their value to,
absolutely,
to do that. That's really near and dear to my heart. I think that's super sweet. So you're a mayor candidate.
Mayor candidate, not
so
quite
what
the
is
mayor
that?
Yet.
Well, so we have 2 minutes left. What do you have to do to become the...
You know, I always make fun of this because the honorary mayor program is nothing political. It's more of a, how much money can you raise for your charity?
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
We like
and,
that.
And so I'm going against, if you can believe it, I'm going against an 18-year-old, don't tell anybody. And I want to not like him because he's my competition, but he's such a good guy and he's so nice. And so we're against each other, and whoever raises the most money wins honorary mayor.
Really?
So for the next year, we go around with the chambers and we cut ribbons for new businesses and all that kind of fun stuff.
And so whoever earns, an 18-year-old is doing this.
He's
serious.
Already junior honorary mayor. Yeah, he has me on my toes. I'm excited to see who wins.
So do
this
you
race.
Have to keep finding fundraisers to do to earn money?
My wife and I have to set up events all over the place and do fundraisers. It's been crazy. And it's so funny because we're working all the time and not getting paid for it.
You know what I mean? So it's good stuff.
It's good stuff, though, and it gets our name out there, and it helps a ton of people. And I'm excited to cut the checks to the foundation and everything.
Oh, how cool. So we have 1 minute left. I thank you so much for coming and being on the radio.
Thank you for
I really do. I thank you for helping the seniors. I thank you for being honest. It all came through. That's why I wanted to have you on. So why don't you give out all your contact information again?
Well, it's House to Home Moving, and you can find us at housetohomemoving.com, or you can email me at jacob@housetohomemoving.com, and our phone number is 916-484-1144.
So they can just call you and...
however they want to do it.
Chat, and you'll come out and do a free assessment. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much for being on the radio. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. I'll be back again.